On The Stack this week, we speak with Spanish media mogul Andrés Rodríguez. Plus, a look at the September issues, and Monocle's very own editor Andrew Tuck is here to tell us all about the return of Monocle's summer newspaper, the Summer Weekly. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis, and I am Fernando Augusto Pacheco. An exciting show today, where we look at the almighty September issues, from Beyoncé's fantastic cover to US Vogue, and how 2018 is proving to be the year of diversity for fashion. And Monocle's editor Andrew Tuck will be here to give us an update on all the Monocle launches in the coming weeks. But first, I speak now to Andrés Rodríguez, editor of Spanish media conglomerate Span Media, responsible for the following titles: The Spanish Squire, The Spanish Forbes, among others, including Ubercool, Food Title, Tapas. But first, Andrés told me more about his new man's title, Man on the Moon.
I think the man in this century, we live so fast, we are interested about fully universe of stories and inputs, but at the same time, the world is moving so fast that we forgot some of the things that other generations, for example, our parents, knew or life. The name of the magazine, I published in Spain, and I was the publisher and the editor-in-chief in Spain for Esquire during 10 years. I bring the magazine to Spain, and I was looking for a magazine that I can be publishing and editing the rest of my life. I am 53. I remember when I was a kid, the stories about the man in the moon, the man on the moon, and the dreams about the people. And I'm fully convinced that if you have a dream and if you have all the illusion for this dream, you can get it. We see every day all the same moon in London, in Midori House, or in Ibiza, or we see all the same moon. And that's the idea of the magazine, the dream of the man.
And Andrés, would you say that the magazine has a Spanish DNA, or are you aiming to talk to an international audience? Because, you know, the magazine is in English as well. So are you trying to aim for the global market?
Yeah, I want to try to make a global brand, try to find a global audience. I create a magazine called Tapas 3 years ago. And the magazine is a big success worldwide. Everybody understood Tapas. With my experience in Tapas, I learned that we can do a magazine for a global audience from Madrid. But of course, I'm Spanish. I'm Latin. And of course, my way to live in the world is coming from a Mediterranean point of view. And we have a very high hedonistic point of view, the way that we understand life. And second thing so important from my side, from the magazine and from my company, the publisher's company, Spain Media, is that we believe in passion, in passion. We want to connect and communicate with the audience through the passion. That is a very Mediterranean way to do it.
Well, and I think it's a good way. Andrés, just give me, a little background as well, because Man on the Moon is part of Spain Media, which you have other, magazines in your roster as well. Can you tell us briefly about the titles and a little bit more about Spain Media as well?
I began working on magazines more than 20 years ago. I bring to Spain Rolling Stone magazine. I was the editor-in-chief for the magazine the first 5 years. I launched it in year number two, I launched it in Mexico. But I was working for Grupo Prisa, the publisher of El País, the big publishing company in Spain. 12 years ago, I went to found my company. I learned a lot about Tyler and his experience in Monaco and before on wallpaper. And I found my company with all the dream and the ambition to be an important publishing company of magazines from Spain. And that's the idea to name it Spain Media. And we began publishing Esquire. We bring Esquire to Spain. We were number one in the market. We changed the men's market magazines. After we launched Bazaar, Harper's Bazaar, that I bring to Spain, approximately 3 or 4 years ago, Hearst bought Hachette worldwide and recovered the titles. But we have a very strong portfolio now because we have the T magazine, the New York Times Style magazine. We are the unique partner in Europe for the New York Times for his magazine. We published 1 year ago. We published L'Officiel, in L'Officiel Woman, L'Officiel Homme, and L'Officiel Art. We published the Rob Report, the American luxury magazines. And we have Forbes, the number one lifestyle and economy magazine in Spain, 5 years ago. And I create two titles, Tapas, that I told before, and 6 months ago, Man on the Moon.
Listen, Andres, what a fantastic roster. In terms of the business plan for all those titles and Man on the Moon as well, which is a newer title, do you count a lot, you know, subscription or you still care about newsstand sales or advertising? How do you combine all those factors?
I think that's one of the most difficult things for a publisher and on these days, that the businesses continue changing every minute, 24 hours a day. Our business in Spain Media is more focused on advertising. I think this is a rule for all the magazine business or lifestyle magazine around the world. Of course, we have national and international distribution with our own titles, with Tapas and Man on the Moon. With the international titles like Forbes or T Magazine, we have only national distribution. We have in Spain a big problem with newsstands. We are suffering a lot. The newsstand number of newsstands in the big cities are decreasing. And that's a problem that we need to change, because the model of the newsstand, I think, will be in the future alive. But the newsstand needs to give to the readers and the citizens a new service for the new generation. And of course, we work the subscriptions business with people that can subscribe to the paper, the print edition and the digital edition. And we have too, a special distribution, big five hotel stars like Hotel Mandarin in Barcelona, or the big places where we need to find the audience. We are very active in Ibiza during all the spring, summer, because and Formentera, because of course they are two of the big spots where the trends are passing by. And that's the picture. Of course, every magazine has his digital communication, independent one each other. But we are fully convinced that print is alive.
And I couldn't agree more as well. And Andres, just finally, you know, I have the beautiful new issue in front of me, photo issue. First of all, tell us a bit more about photo issue. Is it a special in photography? And how often does Man on the Moon come out?
Talking about the issue that you have in your hands, the photo issue, one of the things that I want to enjoy doing is try to put the point of view in a different place. All the people who make editing or publishing magazines work with photographers. But what about if we photograph the photographers? What about if we give to him the possibility to have in the magazine to show his face or her face? What about if we talk about the vanity of the photographers, the vanity of the people who is back at the camera? That's the idea of this issue. For example, the cover, we shoot the cover with a mobile phone. We shoot the cover with Huawei mobile, with a Leica Optica. That's the idea. Try to make the same things that is working for magazines, but in a different point of view. Talking about the circulation, we are making Man on the Moon monthly in Spanish, quarterly in English in this first year. And we have a lot of dreams. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain the magazine. I invite all the listeners to try to find it or email us and we send the magazine to them.
And now it's a very exciting period in the fashion world. The September, or at least most of them, issues are out now. The massive tomes remain heavy and full of advertising. I'm joined by Monocle's fashion editor, Jamie Waters, to browse a few titles and see what are the main trends of the moment.
The September issue is the marquee issue for every publication. It coincides with Women's Fashion Weeks, with the launch of the new season. It's very much the issue that everyone looks forward to. Casting our eyes across some of the different titles, they are incredibly thick with some of the marquee names. Like if you look at Vogue, I mean, they're just absolutely packed with advertisers, each of whom seems to have like double, you know, two lots of spread, so they're kind of four page per advertiser. Even some of the Harper's Bazaar, like kind of across the titles, they are very thick. So it still is, I mean, the issue that everyone kind of looks forward to in the fashion world, the women's wear special.
From what you know in the fashion industry, do you think the brands, they still kind of want to be in those magazines? It's still very important for them. Of course, we talk about social media, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I do think even younger brands, I think they aim to have an ad, you know, the September issue of Vogue, for example.
The thing with fashion is like, it's such a visual thing, and brands invest so much time in their photography for their campaigns, in the art direction, in all these kind of different things to make the ads look really beautiful. A glossy page in a magazine brings them to life far better than a computer screen or like a tablet screen. It does more justice to it. So seeing it on the page, I mean, it is more striking, and it does more justice to all the creative work that goes on behind the scenes to get this really beautiful image. So I think that's very much the case. And I think with months like this, when they are so well read, you're just going to get a lot of kind of eyes on them. You know, you can scroll really quickly past an ad. When you're actually turning the pages, you're kind of going to linger a little bit longer. For a lot of people, and myself included, I mean, when you looking through the ads at the start of these magazines is a really nice thing to do. I mean, you can kind of glean from that a lot of the models who are really interesting at the moment. Obviously, the kind of really striking designs. I mean, you look at some of the ads in this from Gucci, Saint Laurent, Prada, there's some amazing campaigns. And I think for a lot of people, that is one of the things they like the most about leafing through these titles. This season as well, I mean, there are some amazing campaigns. So I think it is important to these brands. And I think we notice we're doing newspapers, we're doing all these kind of different things at Monaco. And I think it's amazing seeing, like on our newspaper format, seeing the big fashion ads blown up, even on an even bigger kind of space. It kind of does justice to them, and it's kind of very satisfying to see.
And let's talk about, you know, the covers. I mean, of course, the theme of diversity, I think, in the fashion industry, the publishing industry, everybody's talking about. And now, for example, in the September issues, you have American Vogue with Beyoncé on the cover, Rihanna here in the UK, and other magazines, you know, putting, you know, black models on the cover. Sure, you might say, of course, you know, they're doing that with Beyoncé and Rihanna, which are clearly two of the most famous women in the world. But something is changing. I mean, I've been noticing as well in covers, even in the months before, that they are having more kind of diverse models on the cover. Do you think that's something that came to stay now?
I think it's 8 of the covers of the prominent fashion titles have black models on the cover for September. It's definitely something that has been talked about a lot in the industry for the past couple of years. And in recent seasons, you've seen on the runway, there's a lot more black models. And then I think in magazines, you're seeing a lot more black models featured. But then it's funny because you think it's something that's come a long way, but then you hear about some of the things this month. So Rihanna's obviously on the cover of Vogue UK, and she's the first black woman to be featured on the cover of a Vogue UK September issue. So Beyoncé's on the cover of Vogue US. She was shot by a black photographer, Tyler Mitchell, who's the first black photographer to ever shoot a Vogue US cover. So, you know, you feel like you've come a long way, but then you hear about these sets of firsts, which seems a bit staggering that it's only happening now. Obviously, people are kind of celebrating the fact that this has happened, but also, I guess there's a lot of questioning about why this is only happening now as well. But yeah, we've mentioned Rihanna and Beyoncé, but then
both wearing floral headgear. That's quite a coincidence as well.
Yeah, so they're both got the floral headdresses on. The way they've been shot is really different. So the Rihanna cover is very theatrical, feels very fashion-y. She's got these kind of razor-thin eyebrows, these bright orange gloves. I think she's in Prada. Bright orange gloves that kind of mimic the orange of the Vogue text. And the Beyoncé cover is really stripped back and natural and has gone the other way. And even some of the shots inside, I think, really bare, really natural. That seems to have been more of a theme across some of the other titles as well. So I think the Rihanna one is the one that feels a bit more different from the others. It is really theatrical and over the top. There's great paradoxes going on all the time in fashion, all these contradictions. And I think there's kind of movements towards both those things at the same time. Huge theatricality and kind of maximalism, and at the same time, natural beauty and sort of minimalism. So I think we're kind of seeing both of these things reflected at the moment. I like the Beyoncé one, personally.
I like it too. And I have to say, another magazine I would like to mention is Vanity Fair. I mean, it's kind of also a fashion title, and I think that's the kind of the revamped version. Michelle Williams looking very pretty, but there's been some mild controversies about it because, you know, she's the main model for Louis Vuitton, and she's wearing Louis Vuitton on the cover. Some people are saying it looks more or less like a Louis Vuitton ad on the cover of Vanity Fair. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's Radhika Jones's first style issue at Vanity Fair. And it's just to talk through the cover, it is that kind of really, really natural and kind of pared back. There was an interesting opinion piece by Vanessa Friedman in the New York Times, who was saying that when you delve into all the talent that have featured in this image or represented in this image, it's Michelle Williams, who is a brand ambassador for Louis Vuitton. She's wearing Louis Vuitton. And it was shot by Collier Shaw, who is this New York photographer who's risen to prominence, you know, really kind of exciting photographer, very natural kind of shots, but also who has done the recent Louis Vuitton campaign. So there's a lot of, she says, she has a line and she says, when you kind of join all these things together, is it essentially a Louis Vuitton ad? And I think it is an interesting thing about the kind of line between editorial, commercial. It is interesting, and I think something that will probably be discussed more, and it kind of taps on the things that magazines are grappling with at the moment.
Thanks, Jamie. And finally on the show, a little Monaco update with our editor Andrew Tuck. The first issue of the Summer Weekly is out now, together with our very own September issue, and worry not, The Escapist is also coming soon. Andrew's here to tell us more.
Yeah, the feedback has been great. And the reason we did this was we're interested in the newspaper format. We've wondered how to gently play with it and reinvent it for our readership and the times that we're in. And we've created something which has longer reads than many newspapers. It's got a lot of comment in it. It's got a good dose of current affairs and business, as well as lifestyle stories. And also, interestingly, lets us cover in print the kind of stories that you might do here on Monocle 24, but which we don't often get to tell in the magazine, because the magazine is only 10 times a year. The lead times aren't extraordinary, but it's a couple of weeks before we see the magazine on newsstand after we sent it to print. So here we can be sharp, fresh, telling fast-moving stories as well. And I think for our readership, they've really enjoyed that. So this year we did a winter series, we've done a spring series, and we did a one-off newspaper for Salone. Now we're back for summer.
And especially in the summer, I think a lot of media brands, they become a little bit lazy, just saying, oh, it's the silly season. But you know, clearly people are still reading, even if they're on holiday. So I think there's a lot of kind of a need for that as well, don't you think?
Well, we've done a bit of reverse thinking, and especially at readership, in that many of the people we want to talk to are having a few weeks out of their busy schedules, that, you know, they've gone to the beach there with their partners, their families, people that they have got to know over years. And they have these moments where, whether it's by a pool, on a lounger, sitting in a cafe, where they get to read more, oddly, than when they're having their busy lives back home. So that's our feeling about long reads and essays and comments, that those will serve them well. And I think also there's a moment of reset that often happens when we're on our vacations. We begin to think, what's the next 6 months look like? Because when I get back to work, it's kind of a series of deadlines up until Christmas. So what do I want to happen over the coming months? What's the world going to look like? What do I need to read? What do I need to do at this moment to make the best of the rest of the year? And again, we're trying to offer some ideas and some recipes, actually in some cases some real food recipes, but recipes for life that will get you from here to Christmas.
Well, an incredible features here in the first issue here with me. I love the Hamptons of Europe, which is, I didn't know about this island in Germany, Sylt apparently. It looks very nice to photo shoot as well.
Yeah, so each week we're going to take you real time to a resort around Europe and encourage you to think, actually, I've got the paper on a Thursday maybe, or on a Friday. Why don't I quickly look and see if I could get on a plane tonight and be somewhere for the weekend? And we've been to Sylt, which is a smart town and resort in Germany. And we've unpacked the things that the Germans do who go there. It's got a very particular scene. And there you are on the beach, but there's a nice kind of cottage that happens to be a Moncler shop, for example. So it gives you a hint of the kind of crowd that goes there.
Another session I loved is a summer questionnaire as well. And the questions, you know, they're quite fun. And like, for example, you've asked if you were an ice cream flavor, which one would you be, Andrew?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a clever answer to this the other day, because it's interesting. Maybe that's the fun thing about questionnaires, because there's the questionnaire as you read it in the newspaper, which does, you know, I think another one of the questions is, you know, factor 50 or suntan oil. And That's a tough one. Yeah, I know. But the gentleman we have interviewed says he's definitely kind of a suntan oil kind of man. But the thing about the questionnaire is, I think you then kind of do it on yourself as well. You're like, okay, yeah. I think there's going to be lots of people sitting by the pool kind of thinking, oh, I wonder what I would like to do. But yeah, it's a guy called Raphael Salo, who's the CEO of Fraser Yachts, one of the big boating companies. So the kinds of questions we've pitched at him, I've got the paper here, is boat shoe or Birkenstock, and five-star hotel or family-run inn. And this is quite nice as people unpack their summers and tell you a little bit. And it's interesting because people aren't as clear-cut as you would imagine. There's always some nice surprises in there.
And I wonder if you could preview, apparently, is it true that issue 4 will be kind of a fashion special as well?
Yeah, so Jamie Waters, our fashion editor, is staring at his screen on the phone. We've decided, because the design special we did for Salone was, it surprised us even how much coverage it got and how much readers liked it. So we thought, here was a chance for us to pause just ahead of all of the big fashion seasons to look at the world of fashion and really look at a lot more women's fashion this time than we normally do, and to do a newspaper that is just about fashion. So it's going to, of course, have things you might want to wear and what might be nudging its way into your wardrobe as the season changes. But as usual, we're going behind the scenes. We're looking at the business world of fashion and retail. We're looking at the people who are upcoming names to watch, and also the places that you should know for retail. So my hope is that whether you own a shopping mall, or you have a small brand, or you just want to buy a pair of gloves for winter, that there'll be something in there for you.
And Andrew, very briefly here, September issue is also out. So it's a very busy season, no?
What we're interested in is a lot of European media brands have moved towards this place where you're supplying, at newsstand as well, books, monthly magazines, newspapers. You're catching people on different rhythms. And that actually people may go to the newsstand and use your brand in different ways. Later this summer, we'll have The Escapist. We've slightly delayed the publication of that because we wanted to move it away from the food and drink directory. We're trying to bring one of them out roughly every 3 months. So we'll have one of the quarterly magazines, The Escapist. We'll have the monthly magazine, and we'll have the newspaper all on newsstand. And I think picking up in different parts of people's media diet. But I'm really, really pleased with the September issue. It's our entrepreneurial, better business, rethink your company issue, which is always inspirational, always gets people thinking about what they want to do. And I think you're just looking there at a lovely, lovely story that Sophie Grove, our Paris correspondent, did with the French Foreign Legion. Incredible access for the expo and the stories of these people. And it's interesting, the French Foreign Legion, you might think of it as a relic of the past, but actually successive recent French premiers and presidents have been confident that it's essential to both the security of the French state and also the battles that France is waging, whether that's against ISIS troops in Africa or, as I said, whether it's with people closer to home. So really interesting stories, amazing access. And I guess that's the reason to be doing Monocle.
Thanks, Andrew. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editors Cassie Galpin and Sarah Miles. If you have any comments or queries, then feel free to write to me, Fernando, at fp@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next Saturday at the same time. And of course, you can always listen to the show again on monocle.com or on iTunes. But before we end, to continue the summer vibes, let's end the show with one of my favorite tracks of all time. This is Brazilian singer Marcos Valle with the very sunny Estrelar. Been listening to The Stack. I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
suar, tem que malhar, musculação, respiração.